Exodus chapter 15. Children of Israel had just seen a great deliverance from the army of Egypt at the Red Sea. And they had this worship service, singing this great song of praise to the Lord. But now they're not going to stay there by the Red Sea. They're on a journey. They're going to go to the promised land. So, verse 22, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And here they walked for 3 days. I remember when our girls were little, it took 6 to 7 hours to get to Janet's mom and dad's house. And that seemed like a brutal trip. Imagine walking with those little ones for 3 days. 3 days in the desert walking. And after 3 days, couldn't find any water. All you could see is sand as far as you could see. They probably left the Red Sea. They probably had some skins with some water in it. But after 3 days, all their hoarded resources are gone. No water. That sand is hot. It's burning their feet. Their sandals never wore out during these 40 years of this journey, but that sand's burning their feet. The sand is blowing up. It's getting in their eyes, in their nostrils, in their mouth. They don't have any water to drink, and they don't have any water to rinse that sand off of them. Their lips are dry and cracked. Their tongues are swelling. Their children, can you imagine seeing those little ones, how they'd be with no water? Their cattle are dying. This is real neat. I mean, this is a trial. Spurgeon said, this is no holiday parade. This is brutal in the midst of the desert. And then they see an oasis. Look at verse 23. Then, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. They saw this oasis in the distance, and it was not a mirage. It was an oasis, waters. And can you imagine how excited they were to see that water? They could just taste it. I'm sure they just ran to it. And there's nothing like water when you're hot and you're thirsty. There's nothing like water. You can feel it going all through you. And they are so excited. And they got there, and the water was too bitter. So bitter they could not drink it. Disappointment. Bitterly disappointed. Can you imagine how they just felt crushed? I watched a special on TV about the Sahara Desert. It's fascinating. Two or three parts of it. I watched them. And they showed this one particular 3 hours of television over the course of a couple of days. I can just remember this. These birds make a migration across the Sahara Desert every year. Thousands of miles. And they always stop at this particular oasis. They've got about two stops that they can make along this journey. And they showed an aerial view of this oasis. It's gorgeous. You just wouldn't believe that it's green and lush and colorful, just in the midst of this huge desert. But the water there, you can't drink it. It's been bubbling up through the sand. It's been cooked by the sun so long, it's evaporated back onto itself so many times. The water's sludge. A bird can land on that water, but if it does, it'll die. It can't get its feet back up out of it. It just sucks it right down in there. The water's like sludge. The salt content is just so high. You cannot drink that water. And all around this beautiful, from a distance, it's so beautiful, but you get up close to it and there's flies swarming everywhere. It's disgusting. But those flies land on that water, and they can drink that salt water. And their bodies purify the water, get the salt out of it. And there those flies are, full of fresh water. And those birds come, and they eat those flies. And they get food and water all in the same thing. And they have what they need to make the rest of their journey. The Lord provides for those birds. You reckon He's going to provide for His people when they're in the desert? He's going to. And I just picture that oasis being very similar to what the children of Israel found here. The water is like sludge. They cannot drink it. So bitter. And boy, then the murmuring and complaining starts. Look at verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Now all this murmuring and complaining came just 3 days after the Lord miraculously delivered them from this mighty army of Pharaoh. Everyone was singing and dancing. Where'd all the joy go? It went quick, didn't it? You think maybe after everything they've seen, that maybe they could have prayed and asked the Lord to send them some water? But they didn't. And we know why they didn't. Because we're saddled with the same sinful nature. We know why they didn't. And this just shows you how weak a human being is. We're weak in the flesh and we're weak in the faith. Just the lack of a little water will cause even a believer to murmur and complain against God. Now, it says they're murmuring against Moses, but really, they're murmuring against God. And that's, we understand, we've got the exact same nature. Have you been there? If you're honest with yourself, you have. Found yourself questioning the providence of God. Have you ever found yourself in a situation, look back on it, well, that would have been a good time to pray instead of murmur? And you wonder, why would the Lord put up with the likes of me? Why did He put up with the likes of them? Look at Psalm 78. The Lord gives us an answer. Psalm 78, verse 34. Here, giving a history of Israel, they've sinned. And when the Lord slew them, then they sought Him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth, and they lied unto Him with their tongues. They just gave lip service. You know, they just wanted the Lord not to punish them anymore. For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. That's why the Lord doesn't just destroy all of us. He remembers. He remembers His people. He remembers we're but flesh. He remembers all we are is a vapor. And He remembers His covenant. And He did not destroy the people that He delivered out of Egypt. But now Moses is still left with them. Moses called these people, you know, murmuring and complaining at Him. And Moses prays. Look here at verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. Now Moses prayed. And the Lord answered his prayer. The Lord showed Moses a tree. The tree was always there, but Moses didn't see it. Moses didn't see it for what it was, didn't know the properties of the tree or something. He didn't see that tree till the Lord showed it to him. And when Moses put that tree into those bitter waters, those waters became sweet. And everybody could drink all they wanted. Now let me give a word of comfort to the child of God. This world that we live in, it's a wilderness, isn't it? Oh, it's a wilderness. And you all came from it today. Out in that wilderness. You had to struggle to get through that wilderness to get to the oasis this evening. And tomorrow, we're right back out in it. It's a wilderness. But just remember, we're only passing through now. This is not our home. This wilderness, this desert, this is not our home. We're just passing through. Who wants to make a home here anyway?
You want to have a home where there's no water, where there's no life, where there's nothing that can support life? Well, of course not. We're just passing through. And while we pass through, remember this, we will have trials. In this world, we shall have tribulation. The Lord sent them this trial to prove them. Now, sometimes, the Lord will just suddenly cause the trial to end, and we have relief. Sometimes, in the midst of this trial, the Lord will bring someone into our life, or something into our life, maybe, that we wouldn't have ever had, wouldn't have ever known, if it wasn't for that trial. And in the midst of that trial, the Lord gives some relief. We have some sweetness from the bitterness of the trial. Sometimes, and I wish this was true with me more often, the Lord removes the bitterness of the trial by giving us a submission to His will. And if we'll submit ourselves to His will, the bitterness will be sweet. Now remember this name. This is not the name of our study tonight, but remember it. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. No matter where you are in this wilderness, you remember the Lord's there. And that'll give His child some sweetness in the bitterness. This tree that the Lord showed Moses is a picture of Christ, the tree of life. That tree was always there. It was always there. We may not always see the Lord, but He's always there. That's His name. The Lord is there. We're never alone. And if the child of God has the presence of the Lord, we don't notice the bitterness of the trial anymore. Just like I don't notice my back porch light. I don't notice if that light's on, if the morning sun is just beaming in there. Because the sun outshines that little ball. The sweetness of Christ's presence outshines the bitterness of the trial and gives us sweetness. It's because of His presence. And one of the reasons the Lord sends us these trials as we pass through this wilderness is so that we will know Him by this name, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. If we never got sick, we wouldn't know the Lord that healeth thee. Now you remember, the Lord didn't deliver you from Egypt. Egypt's a picture of sin. The Lord did not deliver you from sin to take you out into the wilderness and let you perish in the wilderness. No, sir. He's going to bring you to the promised land. But while He won't let us die out there in the wilderness, He will send trials. And this was a test. The Lord sent this to prove the children of Israel. And they failed the test. I mean, they just got an F. They failed the test. But the Lord did not destroy. Even though they failed the test, the Lord didn't destroy them. Look at verse 26. And He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and wilt give ear to His commandments, and keep all of His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Now, I want to look at this name here in two ways, the Lord that healeth thee. First, in physical sicknesses, sicknesses of this flesh. And the first thing we learn from this text is this. If we didn't sin, we'd never get sick. I mean, that's what that verse 26 says. If you hearken diligently, you do that which is right, you give ear to His commandments, you keep all of His statutes, you're not going to get sick. But we do sin. That's all we do is sin. So we have these many sicknesses that we suffer. And if we're ever healed of any of those sicknesses, write this down. Jehovah Rapha is the one who healed our bodies. He's the great physician, just like many of our number are going through right at this moment. If the Lord's pleased to give healing, it's Him that did it, Jehovah Rapha. If you start to feel a little better, it's the Lord that healed thee. We cause the sickness because of our sin. Jehovah Rapha, in mercy and power, heals His people. One of the things, when I had my back surgery, I liked this. I went to see the surgeon, and he looked at everything that there was about my case, and he said, my arm is hurting. And he said, "Frank, we're going to fix this. I'm going to fix this for you." Oh, that was good news. It didn't work as much as maybe as what he hoped it would be. But the other thing I appreciated about him was this. He was compassionate. I went back to him. I still had some pain and the side effects of the medicine. I thought I was losing my mind. And he put his hand on me. He said, "It's all right. It's going to get better." And his compassion meant a great deal to me. Jehovah Rapha, He's compassionate. He remembers His compassion for His people. And He never heals somebody partway. He heals completely. The second thing we learn is this. Well, let me go back. The Lord's not going to heal us. We know this. The Lord's not going to heal us of all of our physical diseases. Someday, He's going to let this body die. And when He does, you remember, "Oh, Frank, He plumb healed now. He plumb healed." Sometimes He's going to heal our bodies. And one day, for His people, they'll be plumb healed. Because Jehovah Rapha is going to heal them of every disease. So the first thing we learn is we wouldn't get sick if we didn't have sin. And the second thing is this. When someone gets sick, use the means that God's given to provide some relief. Don Fortner said, I just laughed out loud when I saw this. Faith and good sense go hand in hand. Faith and good sense just go hand in hand. You see these people, they won't take medicine. They won't go to the doctor and the Lord's just going to heal me while I lay here. They don't get that from Scripture. Scripture is full of illustrations and plainly teaches that we're to use the means that God has provided for us. And the first means is this. Prayer. It's prayer. James says, "Is he sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray for him." Now, we just need to remember this. We need to be a people of prayer. When something goes wrong with you, let us know. Mike came in and told me tonight about this prayer request of Leah for Noah. This needs to be a matter of prayer. We couldn't pray for him if we didn't know. Let us know. And then let's pray. Let's be a people, a praying people. Pray that God would give wisdom and compassion to the doctors and nurses that treat our loved ones. The first means is prayer. And the second means is doctors and medicine and nurses and things. My sister-in-law, Stacy, tells my brother she will not feel sorry for him if he's got a headache until he takes Tylenol. He said, "I got a headache. Should you take Tylenol?" And he said, "No, then I don't feel sorry for you." Use the means that God's given you. Those waters of Marah would have eternally been bitter if Moses had not prayed and he hadn't cut that tree down and thrown it into waters. If he hadn't done that, those waters would have stayed bitter. Well, could God have just spoken from heaven and made the water sweet? Of course He could. But He didn't. He used means. Well, could God just have willed it to be so and the waters have been sweet? Well, of course He could. But He didn't do that. God uses means. He had Moses pray and put that tree in the waters and made them sweet. When you find yourself in trouble, pray. And then use the means that God's given you to find some relief. Now, secondly, I want to deal with this in the spiritual application. This is a picture of Christ. Salvation in Him. This is a picture of how the Lord is going to heal His people from all their spiritual diseases. Now, first, these bitter waters of Marah are a very good picture of sin. Sin is deceiving. The children of Israel saw that oasis in the distance, and they were deceived. When they got there, they were bitterly disappointed. And that's what sin is. Sin looks so good to the flesh. But eventually, you'll find sin does not satisfy. It'll just leave you empty. It'll leave you bitter and disappointed, just like Israel was bitter and disappointed to find those bitter waters of Marah. And I'm sure they remembered those waters back in Egypt, that land of many waters. The waters of the Nile were sweet to them. Remember, Egypt is always a picture of sin. The waters of sin are sweet to the flesh. And before God saves anyone, the first thing He does is bring them to the bitter waters. He makes them come to the bitter waters. He makes people realize the bitterness, not just of sin, but of their sin. Makes me realize the bitterness of my sin. He makes us realize the bitter punishment and the bitter condemnation that our sin deserves. And He makes us realize how bitter our sinful nature is. You're seeing the corruption of our sinful nature is a bitter pill to swallow. And before the Lord saves anyone, He always makes them see that everything about them tastes bitter and is bitter. The Lord's going to bring us, just like He did the children of Israel, to the end of their hoarded resources. They tried everything and found nothing. Left empty, bitterly disappointed. And that's what the Lord, He makes us bitterly disappointed so that we know we are without hope in ourselves. And the Lord makes us see this bitter truth. He makes us see we cannot drink. We cannot because we're dead in Adam. We are spiritually incapable of drinking because we're dead. And He brings us to that point. We have no hope. So that we cry, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And we're worse off than the children of Israel. They're dying of thirst. We're already dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. And we hear these bitter truths and we cry with those brethren in Acts. Men and brethren, what shall we do? We're in trouble. Then, and only then, will the Lord heal those bitter waters. Before the Lord ever gives a man a drink of the waters of life, He's going to salt him and make him thirsty. Before the Lord ever clothes a man, He always strips him. Before the Lord ever gives a sinner life, He always slays him. Before Jehovah Rapha heals, He always wounds. Always in a bitter wound. Second, when a sinner first comes to hear the gospel is going to be bitter. It's bitter to him. He cannot drink it, and he will not drink it. It's contrary to his nature. But if that sinner is one of the Lord's own, try as he might, he will not be able to get away from those bitter waters. The Lord won't let him. And third, the Lord uses means to save his people from their sins. And the first means he uses is prayer. Now, no sinner will ever be saved until he begs God for mercy. And I tell each of us, starting with me here tonight, pray. Let's be a praying people. It bothers me to hear people say, well, you know, I'd like to be saved. There's nothing I can do about it. And I'll tell you why that bothers me. Because when I hear somebody say that, I think, I've not done my job. I failed. As a preacher, I failed as one who teaches God's Word. Pray. There is something you can do about it. You can pray. Now, if there's anyone that needs mercy here tonight, pray. There is something you can do about it. You can call on the name of the Lord. Now, your prayer will not save you. But God will never save anyone until they pray. Now, I can't explain that, and I can't reconcile it, but it's so. The Lord will not save anyone until they call on Him in prayer. You know, it comes to be Wednesday. You're going through the wilderness of this world. You think, well, I sure would like to have a blessing tonight. Pray. Pray. It ought not be shocking to us, but it's shocking how many times we pray for a blessing. And the Lord gives us one. Isn't that something? Many times we have not because we ask not. The first means that God uses is prayer. The second means God uses is preaching. Preaching the gospel. Preaching Christ. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, could God just speak from heaven and give spiritual life? Could He just speak from heaven and call? Well, of course He could. But that's not the way the Lord's pleased to do. God sends a preacher. Well, could God just will it and salvation, it'd be done? Well, of course He could. But He doesn't. He does not choose to operate that way. He chooses to send His preacher with the message of the gospel, with the message of His Son. So first, we have prayer. Second means is preaching the gospel. And the third is the very means of salvation itself. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. This tree that the Lord showed Moses is a picture of Christ, the tree of life. Now, just any tree won't do. Just like any preaching won't do. Just like, you know, any Jesus. It must be the tree that God provided. It must be the tree that God pointed out to Moses. Look over Revelation 22. Here's this tree of life pictured in Revelation 22, same as what was back there to bitter waters of Marah. In verse 1 of Revelation 22, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal." That water is not bitter, is it? It's sweet, it's pure, it's clear as crystal because it proceeds out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street, in the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This tree is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Christ is always there, just like that tree was always there. But we didn't see until God gave us eyes to see, until God told us where to look. Which is exactly why Wayne asked in his prayer for the Lord to open the eyes of our children. They'll never see until God gives them eyes to see. And when a sinner hears that Christ is the gospel, not just that he hears Christ in the gospel, but that he hears Christ is the gospel, what was bitter to him when he first heard it is now sweeter than honey. When a sin-sick sinner sees that Christ is the gospel, that sinner is immediately healed of every spiritual disease. Peter, when he quotes the prophet Isaiah, said, "By whose stripes ye were healed." Isaiah said, "By whose stripes you are healed." Peter said, "By whose stripes you were healed." It's already done. The great transaction is already done. And the moment that we behold the Lord Jesus Christ, we were healed. That's not proper English, but that's exactly describes salvation. The moment that we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we were healed. And when Christ comes into a sinner's heart, that Moses put that tree into those waters. When Christ comes into a sinner's heart, that bitter sinner becomes a new person. Become sweet, made sweet. Now I know there's degrees of sweetness even in a believer. We're not all sweet as Sharon Parker. I wish I was, but we're not. I'm not. But there's a difference. When Christ comes in the heart, there's a difference. We're made sweet. People can tolerate being around you now. You're sweet. There's a difference. The old writers say that this tree Moses cast in the water was a bitter tree. How they know that, I have absolutely no idea. But it does make reasonable sense. This tree grew by bitter waters. It probably was a bitter tree. And that bitter tree is a picture of the cross of Christ. Only that bitter tree could make the bitter waters sweet. What Christ suffered at Calvary for His people was bitter. Pure bitterness. He suffered the bitter curse of sin. He suffered the bitter condemnation of the law. He suffered all the bitterness of the sin of His people. And when He did, there was sweet peace made between God and men. And there, when they saw this picture of redemption in Christ, making the waters sweet, there the Lord made for them a statute and an ordinance. Let's go back here and read it again. Verse 26. This is the statute and the ordinance He made for them. Verse 26. He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, if you'll do that which is right in His sight, and if you'll give ear to His commandments, and if you keep all of His statutes, I'll put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. I don't know about you, but that sure sounds like a whole lot like a covenant of works to me. The blessing is dependent upon obedience. You have to be perfectly righteous. You have to obey perfectly. And if you're disobedient, all these plagues are going to come upon you just like they came upon the Egyptians. The Lord says, if you diligently hearken unto me, it's not just good enough to do what you know you ought to do. Go find out what you're supposed to do. Go find out what you missed. Go find out what you don't know. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. If you disobey one law, even if you didn't know it was a law, God will send you to hell for eternity for it. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. You diligently hearken. You do that which is right. You give ear to God's commandments and you keep every one of His statutes. Then, none of these diseases will come upon you. And I don't know about you, that frightens me. Because I know my bitter old nature will not obey. My bitter old nature will not listen to God's word. Does that covenant of works frighten you? If this is the covenant that we're under, we're going to be sick, both physically and spiritually, forever. So let me see if I can help you here with some of these fears. The Lord says, if you're perfectly obedient, then I won't send all these diseases upon you. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord already knew Israel was going to be a rebellious, stiff-necked, sinful, idolatrous nation. But the Lord is going to bring them across the wilderness to the promised land anyway. Because of covenant mercies. Because of a promise He made to Abraham. And there's a difference here. Pharaoh and the Egyptians disobeyed God. Moses gave him plenty of opportunities. Let my people go. God says, let my people go. And he wouldn't do it. And God, he disobeyed God, and God destroyed him for it. And the Egyptians knew Jehovah, the destroyer. They knew Jehovah, the avenger. They knew God, the consuming fire. But Israel, who did the same thing, who disobeyed God on many occasions, they knew Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. They knew Jehovah Rapha, who healed every disease their sin deserved. It's not that you didn't sin. It's the Lord that healeth thee. That's how we're made whole. And spiritual Israel's done the same thing. We've sinned. And the disease of all these spiritual terminal diseases belongs to us. But Jehovah Rapha healed His people by taking their diseases in His body on the tree. And applying His precious blood. He washes them in His blood from all their iniquity. And gives His people His health. He takes our sickness. He takes our disease and gives us His health. And the Lord Jesus Christ immersed Himself in the bitter sin of His people. He immersed Himself so fully that Scripture says He was made to be sin. He was made to be this bitterness. And our substitute suffered the bitter curse and removed all of the curse with all of its bitterness, and His people are healed. Made the righteousness of God in Him. Made as holy and as healthy as God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're in this wilderness, you're hot, tired, you're hungry and thirsty after righteousness, and you can't find any, come to Christ. Our Lord Himself said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Go to Him. Not just to Him who has the water of life. Go to Him who is the water of life. He is the water of life. If you're sin sick, this is the name of the Savior. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. And I like how he put that. Not just the Lord that healeth. The Lord that healeth thee. This promise is for you and for your children. He will. You come to Him. I don't care how sin sick you are. I don't care how miserable and wretched. I don't care if the doctors of the day have given you no hope to live. You come to Jehovah Rapha. He'll heal of every spiritual disease. The Lord that healeth thee. All right. Well, I hope the Lord will bless that to you and make it an encouragement to you.